This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, it is Lee Chui Lin and Ayman Rashad. Coming up, we're going to be talking about Malaysia and South Korea's trade relations. And of course, you can join the conversation. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. All of this coming your way on the evening edition.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:06 in the evening, and you're with Lin and Ayman. So we are going to be moving on to an important trade partnership, but one that perhaps, at least here on our show, we don't spend a lot of time talking about, and that is South Korea. We're going to be finding out what economic cooperation between our two countries actually means. That will be coming your way after this. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
7:13 in the evening with Lin and Ayman, and we're moving on to talk about Malaysia and South Korea's trade relations. So ASEAN and South Korean leaders were recently in Busan for a summit to mark 30 years of ties. And at that summit, President Moon Jae-in said that he plans to redouble efforts to expand economic cooperation, promising to boost two-way trade to $200 billion next year from where it currently sits, which is $160 billion.
Yeah, and this is coming at a time when we're seeing protectionism and trade wars being the norm, right? We've got the US-China trade war, and even Korea and Japan are sort of engaged in their own little kerfuffle as well.
We heard about how beer exports have gone to zero, and I'm like, whoa, this is serious.
Yeah, so like in these trade wars, there's a lot of tit-for-tat moves. Japan removed Korea from its index of trusted trade partners, and Korea responded by doing the same thing. And this was, of course, something that we covered back in October, which you can find on the podcast on our app.
Yeah, so I think this just got us thinking about what this relationship or this strengthened relationship between South Korea and Malaysia might look like, especially in light of the fact that South Korea's economy at this point in time is showing signs of recession, I think, or at the very least is not doing particularly well. So, what would this trade partnership actually entail and look like? We can't answer that, but our guest thankfully can. On the line with us is Jayant Menon, lead economist at the Asian Development Bank. Jayant, thank you so much for joining us. So, like I said, South Korea's economy has been in a slump over the last few months or so. How would you forecast their growth in the near future?
South Korea's growth for this year has been cut back from about 2.7% to around 2%. And it might actually end up being even lower than that. The last few months have shown very slow growth or contraction, actually, in the economy. So I think what we are seeing is the first real signs of significant slowdown as a result of not one but two trade wars that South Korea is affected by. The first one is the one it's directly involved in with Japan, which has had significant impacts already. And the second is indirectly as a result of the U.S.-China trade war. Korea, of course, is very much embedded within the regional and global supply chain. And, you know, it's a major exporter of chips in the semiconductor sector and the electronics industry. And this has been very heavily hit by both trade wars that I just mentioned. So in this sense, we are seeing for the first time, really, how a small trade-dependent economy like South Korea can feel the impacts of not one but two trade wars. We're not seeing it that much yet in the U.S. because the U.S. is being driven by tax cuts and growth is strong. In China, the numbers are not always reliable, but here we have a case where reading the tea leaves, we know that the trade wars are really biting, especially for small open economies.
And what about the impact on Malaysia and our trade relationship with South Korea?
I think with Malaysia, the impacts will come from a slowdown in foreign investment from Korea. You know, Korea has been an increasingly important investor in Malaysia. It has slowed down for a while now, as has all FDI generally. But this will be the major impact. And to some extent, also tourism, might slow. Korean tourism is important to many countries in the region, including Malaysia. That could also be affected. But then indirectly, I guess, Malaysia could benefit from the restructuring of the regional supply chain as Korean investment in China shifts away from that country to the region to avoid the punitive tariffs in the U.S. market. So there could be some offset in that sense of foreign investment being diverted out of China. But overall, I think the Korean growth slowed down will have a negative impact on foreign investment to Malaysia and also through reduction in tourism flows. And to some extent, trade might also be affected in more in the sense that Malaysian exports to Korea could be negatively affected.
We're also seeing South and North Korea working towards a repairing of their ties. What economic impact would this have on both countries? And then conversely, their political ties with the US and China?
Right. So the South Korea-North Korea resumption of ties, I think, is still quite some distance away. We need to be realistic about those prospects. And the U.S. intervention hasn't really produced the kind of results that was hoped for. So firstly, I think we should note that this is still not on the horizon right now, although things can change very rapidly with these sorts of negotiations. But if they do get resolved, then I think, this will be good for the world. It will be particularly good for North Korea because they are suffering economically with their citizens, living in very repressed conditions economically and also in many other ways. South Korea will also benefit in the long run. In the short run, it could be costly for South Korea to engage and bring North Korea into the realm, as we saw in East and West Germany as well, right? So reintegrating North Korea will initially involve some cost to South Korea, but it will certainly be a plus for South Korea in the longer term, economically, as well as, of course, security and political wise. This will have different effects on the world. I think, as a whole, the world will be a safer place. The U.S. will be happier as the so-called unofficial guardian of world security. China, in some sense, it's hard to call, really, because North Korea provides a buffer between China and the rest of East Asia. And if they engage with South Korea, then that buffer is gone. And so that's a different calculus for China. But I think, again, China will see the reduced risk of conflict between the North and South Korean Peninsula in the Korean Peninsula as a good thing, although they will see that their ally now or their buffer would have been lost to the other side.
Do you think there's likely to be a response from Japan because they're currently in a sort of trade war with Korea right now at the moment?
Yeah, so this Japanese-Korean trade war is really damaging both countries significantly. And I think here we have another case of a non-economic issue, one that goes back to issues of the Second World War, being revived and responded to with trade policy measures. And this conflation of political issues with trade policy is another sign of the weakening of a rules-based trading system and a rules-based order. And we see it in many parts of the world, and this is another example between Korea and Japan. And this is a very sad case. I think we need to stop using trade policy to resolve any and every issue. because the costs are borne by consumers and by the economies themselves. Both economies suffer, and there are no winners from these sorts of disputes. And I hope that this can be resolved soon. It doesn't show any signs of either party looking to resolve it, unfortunately. Maybe the resumption of ties with North Korea can provide a boost to Japan to try harder to try and engage. But, you know, it's hard to call, really.
Do you see any significance in this pledge involving South Korea and ASEAN at a time when protectionism seems rampant?
Yeah, unfortunately, in turbulent times like the ones we live in now, with so much risk and uncertainty, this is the most difficult time to get countries to do sensible things, right? The temptation is to cave into more protectionism, more retaliation, and to actually, you know, spiral downwards in a vicious sort of circle. And this is what we've been seeing with the U.S.-China trade war especially. So this is a difficult time to actually make progress on other fronts, especially with global growth as well, slowing, right? The IMF's latest forecasts suggest that world growth will slow even further, and this is a particular concern. Of course, Asia is doing better than many other regions, but still, I think the threat of economic slowdown makes it more difficult to pursue reforms and pursue policies that would have some short-term pain, but long-term gains. The temptation now is to secure the ship and to try and avoid a recession. And therefore, the trade-off between short-term pain and long-term gains isn't attractive, and usually goes in reverse of getting short-term gains to stave off recession and forget about the long-term for the time being.
And one last question. What is the trade relationship like between South Korea and ASEAN at the moment?
ASEAN is a very important trading partner for Korea and vice versa, of course. And there is relatively deep and good, high-quality free trade agreement in ASEAN and Korea, which is going to lock in some of the reforms so that protectionism is guarded or insured against, and you can't raise tariffs just voluntarily in times of difficulty. But Korea is also, you know, one of the biggest players in FTAs. They have FTAs with almost with more countries than any other country in the world. And they are also pursuing an FTA with Malaysia, which will deepen relations and strengthen economic ties. They already have bilateral FTAs with Singapore and Vietnam, and they're looking to increase these sorts of bilateral FTAs with the other original ASEAN members. So ASEAN is providing you know, a buffer against protectionism through the FTA with Korea, and the fact that they are still pursuing bilateral agreements with individual ASEAN members like Malaysia suggest that prospects for strengthening ties are quite good, even given all the difficulties in the global environment.
Jayant, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Jayant Menon, lead economist at the Asian Development Bank, weighing in on, I guess, the deepening friendship and ties between South Korea and ASEAN and what might be in it all for Malaysia. So that is, well, all the serious stuff for our show. You can weigh in. You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.